Thank you. All right, it is 3:20 p.m. Central Time. We're back on the record. At this time, we're going to proceed to closing statements by the counsel for the two parties, and then we'll take some closing statements from the commissioners. And after that, I will finish up with some instructions about briefing and such. Ms. Valley, are you prepared to proceed?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners, Judge Fetch, and Commission staff. The company appreciates the time and attention the Commission and its staff have taken to review our case, and we thank you for the opportunity to present additional information and answer the Commission's questions directly through the course of this proceeding. As Commissioner Fedorchak stated as this hearing began, the goal is a result that balances the interests of our customers and the company, and that ensures continued safe, reliable service at reasonable rates. The record supports that the company's request appropriately balances these interests. As explained by company witnesses Laura McCartan, Tim O'Connor, and Steve Foss, to reliably serve our customers, we must invest in and maintain our infrastructure and operate our business to meet our obligation to serve today and into the future. The overall purpose of this rate-making process is to set rates that allow the utility to recover its reasonable costs it incurs to satisfy that obligation. Our rate request reflects the cost necessary to serve our customers and is consistent with standard rate-making principles, is consistent with the Commission's precedent, and follows standard accounting procedures and reflects an equitable distribution of costs between jurisdictions. In contrast, the staff consultant's proposals depart from standard rate-making processes and this Commission's precedents and violates the regulatory compact between the state and the company. Company witness Ms. Ann Bulkley explained the standard used by this Commission and established by the Supreme Court for setting ROE. This includes consistency with the allowed return of other businesses having similar risks, adequacy of the return to provide access to capital and support credit quality, and that is reflective of current market conditions. Company witness Mr. Tyson further explained the adverse result of an ROE outside the range of comparable returns. In this case, the staff consultant has proposed an ROE so low as to fail to meet the test of being reasonably comparable to like investment opportunities and is not consistent with prevailing market conditions. Such a result doesn't balance the interests of our customers and the company, and as Mr. Tyson explained, could adversely affect customers by raising costs of capital needed to support system investments. Mr. Tyson explained that North Dakota is not insignificant. The investment community is paying attention to what happens here. An ROE should be set at a rate comparable to investments of similar risk to ensure credit quality, and that directly benefits customers in a time like today of significant system investment. With respect to the jurisdictional allocator, Mr. Brockett testified that the 12CP method does continue to be the appropriate method in this case and is consistent with the standard expressly set by the Commission. It reasonably reflects the incremental costs caused by each jurisdiction, is consistently applied among each of the jurisdictions, and is understandable, inexpensive to administer, and does not result in large swings in jurisdictional cost responsibility. In contrast, the 1CP method recommended by Dr. Pavlovic fails to meet that test. It is inconsistent with precedent and would result in large swings in jurisdictional cost responsibility. It is not consistently applied. Ms. Dr. Pavlovic failed to identify any basis to adopt the method the Commission has repeatedly rejected for the NSP system. As Dr. Pavlovic recommended that we continue to look at something in the future, adopting the 1CP method in the interim when admittedly it is not the right fit for this company would result in a $20 million reduction to our revenue requirement without any basis in the record. Company witness Ms. Lisa Perquette further supported the depreciation expense in this case. Both legal and non-legal asset retirement obligations are costs of service that need to be recovered from customers. If non-legal AROs are excluded, those costs will be recovered from future ratepayers who may have never received the benefit of the asset. The accounting treatment proposed by the company in this case is consistent with standards of accounting and the history of regulatory practice. With respect to the test year, Ms. Ann Hoyer explained that our proposed test year is consistent with the statutory requirement that it be based on 12 consecutive months of data. In contrast, Mr. Mugras's recommendations match a historical average of expenses with projected future test year revenues and sales. It fails to apply a consistent allocator to the costs and adjustments, and it in fact doubles the sales forecast. He has not provided any evidence that any of the costs are imprudent in this case and has not questioned the company's budgeting process. With respect to the annual incentive, the company has proposed recovery of this incentive capped at 25% of base pay. And as company witness Ms. Sharon Koenig explained, it is part of a total compensation package. And by including compensation that is at risk for our employees does save costs for our customers. In order to attract and retain the talented workforce that we need to support company operations, we do need to compensate them at market comparable rates. And by having this differentiated process actually does keep costs low for our customers, as other benefits such as retirement, other offerings the company makes to its employees are often tied to the base salary. And by keeping the base salary low with the annual incentive component on top of that to get to a market level actually reduces the cost of these other benefits. And Mr. O'Connor explained the extremely competitive market for nuclear employees. Those employees are particularly vulnerable to recruitment from other companies that offer higher compensation, more advancement opportunities, and sometimes a more preferable location. So retention agreements to keep those folks at our plants once they're trained, they know our systems, is a cost-effective practice for our customers in terms of avoiding the cost of recruiting, training, and getting new employees. We are listening to the concerns of staff and the commission about the investments that we're planning to make in the future, and we have filed those advanced determinations of prudent to allow the commission, as it has the right under statute, to review whether those are the right investments for our customers. And we look forward to the opportunity to do that, recognizing that those costs aren't part of the case today. And we appreciate the discussion on the power purchase agreements and the additional information that the commission and staff would like regarding those. We do think that the appropriate treatment of those or review of those should be in a separate proceeding, but we are look forward to the opportunity to provide the commission with the information it's looking for these resources that are currently being used. As the commission knows, its role is to weigh the evidence presented and exercise its reasoned judgment to determine just and reasonable rates, rates that are fair for the customer and fair for the company. In determining just and reasonable rates, the Commission considers the public need for adequate, efficient, economical, and reasonable service, and the utility's need for revenue sufficient to enable it to meet its cost of service and to earn a fair return. The testimony in the record and the evidence provided by the witnesses through this proceeding supports the company's rate request as reasonable to recover the cost of service, and that balances the interests of our customers and the company, ensuring the continued safe, reliable service at reasonable rates. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Valley. Mr. Norrell, please give the staff advocacy closing statement.
Thank you, Your Honor. Judge Fetch, members of the Commission, representatives of NSP Minnesota, I'd like to thank you for your time and engagement in this case. I'd also like to thank my fellow members of advocacy staff for their hard work, which has highlighted the big issues in play in this case. These issues have an impact on everyday North Dakotans. We urge you to keep in mind that impact that your decision will have on the fellow North Dakotans as you take this case under advisement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Norrell. Do you want to say anything in closing, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle?
No, thank you.
Just thought I'd give you the chance. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. And at this time, I'd like to give the opportunity to commissioners to give closing statements, and we'll go first with Commissioner Fedorchik.
Thank you. Well, I too want to start by saying thanks to everyone, to the company, for all the efforts you made to presenting your best case, digging up all the information we've asked for over the last 8 months, for your very professional presentations and all around general pleasantness. It's been appreciated. Same with you, staff. You're pleasant, too. And the consultants were, too, although I think we made them sick, and now they left. No, but I really do appreciate the extra time that everyone has taken to help educate me and willingness to do so. This is a complicated matter, and I really have great respect for all the experience of everyone in the room and everyone who has left and the professionalism as well. Energy is one of the core components of our society. And while there wasn't a lot of or any members of the public who came today or the last few days to participate in this process, we know it isn't because they don't care about energy. If we don't get this right, our lives as we know it comes to a standstill. So what you all are doing as a company is vital, and what we're doing here helps shape that. And so what we're doing is also extremely vital, and I don't think we should ever interpret the public's lack of involvement as decreasing the importance of these proceedings. This is a complicated case. I'm glad of it because it's given us an opportunity to learn about a whole bunch of things that I don't know we'd otherwise have dug into. So that's great, and it's revealed some areas that I think that we can dig into and need to perhaps consider. We're in dynamic times, and this industry has changed a lot and is continuing to change. And so while precedent is important, and I appreciate the consistency and the measured approach that this commission has followed over the past 20 years, 30 years, and I want to continue that, I also think that changing times demand some alternative approaches. And so I think we need to all be open to that and to work on some of those issues that we have identified moving forward with an open mind and with an eye on having the best possible outcome for today's era, regardless of how it has been done in the past. And then setting out not changing everything overnight by any means, but setting out a course to get to where we need to be for the current state of the industry. So that kind of concludes where my mind is at today. I don't know if we're in if this is halftime or if this is the third period. I have no idea, having been the first rate case. It feels to me like halftime. And so we've got a lot of work left to do, a lot of materials still to consider, a lot of discussions to be had, and I look forward to doing that together with all of you. Thank you.
Sounds like everyone's mind is going to football. So, thank you, Commissioner Fedorchik.
Basketball for me.
Oh, okay, basketball. And now we'll hear from Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, like Julie and I guess everyone Randy's talked about. Just thanks everyone for all their work. My biggest concern coming into this hearing was that it would degrade into a free-for-all of finger-pointing, and because the issues are pretty far apart. We've seen that in different hearings before, and that's just the way it lays out. But I appreciate you disagreed. You weren't disagreeable about it. And as we get to what this final solution is, I don't know whether we are at halftime or we're at the first quarter. I mean, the issues are pretty big right now. But when I go through, I mean, the kind of like Carrie laid out the first time, and the 12 CP, 1 CP, the depreciation, the return on equity, employee compensation, the fuel cost rider, incentive compensation, charitable contributions, the transmission cost recovery rider. I mean, these are all ones issues that I have a definite thoughts on today that I won't share at this time, Alana. But I will say that I've made decisions on these in previous rate cases that will have some bearing on what I'll say in our first work session, which we'll probably schedule pretty quick. But I will say for me coming into this proceeding, this being the third or fourth rate case that I've been involved with Xcel Energy, this is where I'm at right now today. If we craft a decision that puts you back here next year, it'll be the most stringent decision that I can come up with. If we craft a decision that gives the ratepayers some time to deal with this decision, there may be more flexibility in that decision. So I'll put that out there to all of you to haggle with. But I know that there's many different ways this can play out, that the sides can get together and figure out what they agree on, present it to the commission, and we can accept it, make changes, and move forward. Or you can leave it all to the three of us to decide. So that goes back to whether we're in the first quarter or the third quarter, I think. So I do really appreciate the dialogue. But go back to the last thought I would have is that I'm relatively convinced the regulatory model we have now throughout the country does not fit the way investor-owned utilities have developed over time. So that's a challenge for all three of us and the staff to promote law changes as required, and I'd even offer up to the company. If there's things in North Dakota law that you like or don't like or we should change them. We should look at them because that's how ADP came around. That's how we created You get the money right away. Interim rates. That's how we created interim rates. So now we have interim rates in place, which gives us more time to really work through these issues. If there was no interim rates at play right now, I suspect the company would be very much more animated about getting a decision, and all for us too. So those are the kind of things that came about because people put good ideas to paper and they developed in some kind of laws. So as we get into the next session here, 18 months or so, let's be thinking about that. And just thank you all for your work, and I look forward to moving forward on this. The power purchase agreements, I know we've talked about separate hearings. I'm not against that, but I certainly wouldn't be against if all this stuff got put away this time around either. So throw that out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. All right, Commissioner Chrisman, you get to follow up two excellent closing statements here.
Well, and I will apologize in advance, Judge. I don't have any sports metaphors to throw around. But before I'm done, every once in a while, the rancher ones slip out. So, and you know, there's nothing you can do about them once the horse is out of the barn. So.
See? Always appreciated.
But at any rate, I felt like I've worked hard on this case and in preparing for it, and I appreciate the leadership that Commissioner Kalk has brought forward, having actually done these before. And I know Commissioner Fedorchik has worked many, many hours preparing for this, with this being her portfolio. And I think with the questioning that we've seen here today has really helped also provide great leadership in this. I will say a lot has been talked about with commission precedents, and I'm a big one on historical things and maintaining consistency, but there are times when things do change. And the world of utilities has evolved considerably since a lot of these precedences were established, and sometimes elected officials can get used to doing something a certain way because they've already made that decision once, and so then subsequently it's always easier to reach that same conclusion. But this is a unique time in North Dakota where two of the three have never done a rate case before, and so I think a lot of these things that have maybe been done the last few times because they were precedents are going to get a fresher, tougher look here to see if we are doing things the way they ought to be done in 2013. Commissioner Kalk mentioned this with the power purchase agreements. But, if I had my druthers, the PPAs would be in this, as would all the ADPs that are already on the table. It just seems to me we're doing something big and ignoring something that we know is out there in doing it. And this is one place where I'm going to certainly acknowledge past precedents and agree that there probably is good reason for not biting off more than we can chew here, and that those things will be addressed later. But I'm still not convinced that it wouldn't be better to just have done it everything all at once and look at the whole picture in one good look. Lastly, just as kind of a summary, I think people from NSP, from our advocacy staff, from our own staff, as well as you, Judge, have been acknowledged for doing a great job. But, you know, it goes even further than that. It goes to Scott, and to our IT people and our our record keeper, court reporter. You know, all the people in the whole commission that make things go so we can be properly prepared. And also, I can't help but sit here now for 3 days in a big hearing, my first really big hearing in here, multiple days like this, and think back to a few years ago sitting in the state Senate, helping the commissioners at that time push through the money to redo this hearing room. And the fact that we've brought everyone together, we've volumes of information, it's recorded, people could listen electronically, they could watch us on the internet, all these things are possible. Commissioner Fedorchak mentioned nobody from the public. I challenge that. We did have one young lady stop in for a few minutes. Believe it or not, it was Ms. Fedorchak's mother, even though she looks far too spry for that to be possible. But I'm confident.
Those were just fans.
Because of the great system this commission has to make something like this possible, that there are a lot of people monitoring us, although not present in the room, and that's as it ought to be. This is open government, and I think it'll help us all to do what's right for the ratepayers and citizens of North Dakota. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. And I'm not going to even try to follow that up. I'll just echo, all the recognition all the way around. It's excellent. And yes, I sitting in on this hearing, as I have, literally thousands of others, I always appreciate parties' professionalism. And this could have been a very contentious hearing, and because the issues are contentious. But thank you. We have some excellent staff and counsel, and it's been handled extremely professionally, and I always appreciate that. Thank you. And as we agreed in a pre-hearing conference prior to the hearing, the parties will be submitting written briefs of their positions, and included with the written briefs will be proposed findings for the commission to consider. And I will hold the record open because we have a number of late filed exhibits coming in, and the record cannot be closed until we receive all the evidence. Excuse me. And until we receive the briefs and the proposed findings. So, and I'm not going to actually set a deadline date for that because it works better if the parties can work on those schedules themselves. So, and I am going to ask counsel to stay after I close the hearing so we can work out however I want to go through and make sure we have all the briefs, all the exhibits labeled and everybody's on the same page with those. Before I actually officially close the hearing today, is there any other matter which anyone wishes to bring to my attention or the attention of the commission? And I'll start first with, because you're looking at me, Mr. Norell, I'll start with you.
I was just going to say no, Your Honor.
Thank you. Ms. Valley or Mr. Johnson?
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle?
Do you need to mention on the record that Exhibit P, the Minnesota, the chronology of Minnesota legislation?
Thank you.
Well, we have Dana to thank.
I am going to mention on the record that Commissioner Christman brought to council's attention and my attention that we actually talked about an exhibit, information that Commissioner Christman wanted, and we have now placed a label on it. It's Exhibit P, as in Peter, which will be late filed, and we've called that a chronology of legislative and regulatory actions in Minnesota. All right, anything else? Anything else from the commission? Thank you. And thank you for your professionalism. All right. Then if there is nothing else, I will close this hearing noting the date and time is August 29th, 2013 at 3:45 p.m. Central Time. This hearing is closed. Thank you, everyone.